This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Popper. It's not nice today. It's raining. I'm having a sad day, but that's not sad as in the Slovak bus system. It's sad in that my son's gone away. But it's apparently going to be sunny tomorrow. So I'm very happy about that. I'm Eric Wiltshire in the lovely town of Poprad in the east of Slovakia. Hence we call the programme Postcard from Poprad. And sitting there over in the, well, the honour roll country of Europe. My good Lord, it's Lee Banks.
Honour roll. What are you talking about honour roll? The only thing that rolls that Britain are on are bacon rolls and cheese rolls. That's why all the women in Britain are so fat.
And your car that rolls down hills and can hardly get back up again.
Don't be rude about my car.
And Rach, who's terribly fed up.
Yes.
Why are you still fed up?
I'm fed up with everything. I'm fed up with Darwin. I'm fed up with people posting really weird stuff on my wall that insults my Uncle Eric, and then I have to go into vicious battle for him, and then unfriend said nefarious person who made fun of your quirky grammar. I took real exception to that, and I was ferocious, and I used a B word.
Uh-oh. That,
yeah, and then I didn't use any other naughty words, but okay. I used a B word,
No, she can't say.
I can't say.
Give us an analogy. What's it sound like?
A female dog.
A bog?
A female dog is a female
yes.
dog is a...
One of those.
Anyway, the person. But what was funny about it was that he said something condescending to you, with starting with "dearie lovey," which is why I called him a female dog.
Yes.
And then I said, "Nah, I'm not having somebody criticising my uncle's quirky grammar. Bye bye." And I unfriended him.
Oof. Oh.
Nobody does that. The only person that can call you names is me or Lee, and that is all.
How come he can do it?
Yeah, you big lovey.
Anyway, I'm still reeling from last weekend, which was fabulous. I have to say a great, great, huge thanks to Dan, who's over in Kent, for producing an old radio station from 30 years ago, which we mentioned last week, Laser 558. I was driving around Poprad with my smartphone connected to my car, listening to 30-year-old radio, which was broadcast on medium wave. Ancient modulation, but it was good fun. Lee this week is claiming that his car, his lumbering limousine, is a muscle car.
It is a muscle car!
Yeah, well, I have one question. Is your power steering broken then?
No. Ha, ha, ha. Oh. Very funny. No, my car, my Bentley Chrysler Mercedes
limo,
is classed as a muscle car since the days of the Hemi. And the Hemi is the car that this has been designed around. It is a muscle car. I have it in a book. I've been trying to find the book to censor all week to prove it.
Yeah,
I've been let down
exist.
By my PA.
It doesn't exist.
I think this muscle car, tell the truth, the muscle car comes from having to push it because it never
hurts.
Ah,
this is true. Thank you, Rach. There we go.
That's
anyway,
right.
Hi to Talk Radio X.
Criminals
use it. Yeah, right. Talk Radio X to Breeze, Absinthe, and Replay, and everywhere else, because I get so confused. This is your alternative sideways look at the news, and boy, are we going to have fun this week, because we've been banging on about certain subjects for years and years and years. And I have to say, we've got a small moral victory coming up for you in a minute. But before all that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers owner and Manchester United owner, Malcolm Glazier, died at the good old age of 85. And the one thing I like about Glazier, he was
dead.
He didn't start life with a silver spoon in his mouth. He actually built
Where
his
was
own.
It?
He didn't have one.
He didn't have one. And he built all of his wealth up himself, so good luck to him for that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he needs good luck now, does he?
No.
Good luck,
well,
to you, Michael.
Good show. Top-notch. Top-notch for being a self-made man.
Yes, absolutely. I can't say he's...
being a self-made man.
No, nothing at all. I can't say he was very popular with the fans.
He wasn't. He was a bit of an idiot, really. And he well, no, you can't say he looked stupid, but he did. And he didn't really endear himself to anybody in Manchester over the way he handled the takeover of Manchester United, which is one of the most iconic football clubs in the world.
It's a wonderful football club. It comes to Pop Rad every year.
Of course it does. Of course it does. I don't think Mr. Malcolm Glazier came across.
No.
No. But he did what he had to do, and he didn't do it very well, but he did it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to leave the two lovies to explain this particular lady to everybody.
Because
Rachel actually put it on her Facebook profile, and Lee was singing about it as well. Said young lady's died.
She has, poor old Maya Angelou. What do you think, Rachel? You tell the world.
Maya Angelou was one of those fantastic African-American women born, you know, in the 30s in the Deep South.
Yeah.
She was a, you know, when, you know, the slavery and the oppression and all that sort of stuff was, she came from that stock, and she became this kind of philosophical, very, almost this peace-loving person who she made positive out of just about everything. If you had your legs fall off, she'd find a way to make you feel really good about it.
Make you laugh about it. Yeah.
She made her name with a memoir, which was called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which was all about her childhood and abuse and all this sort of stuff. But she had great admirers, like Oprah was. Oprah really admired her. Oprah Winfrey really admired her. Barack Obama was. She's a hero to him. She's a hero to many great African American people and people who aren't African American. She was, you know, world known, much like Mandela was in his later life. Mm-hmm. She was similar, but she wrote beautifully, really beautiful writer. She was one of a kind.
All the joking aside for a minute, one of life's lessons that she learnt so beautifully, and it's a great thing to do, boys and girls. It really is. There were so many people. She was a bit like, as we say in England, Marmite. You either loved her or hated her. And there were some people that didn't like her. And the fact was that she was actually so nice.
She was
really
she was,
lovely.
Yeah.
And when she met people, she was nice, even if they didn't like her. And that annoys them even more.
She had this presentation, though, that was so studied and so stylized and indicated. That in one way, that's what I like people who, in the arts, are actually actors, like good singers, act a song.
Yeah.
Good writers, if they're giving a reading, act the content of the poem or of the book. And Maya actually, even in photographs, could portray the angst of the angst and pride of being a poet and being a political poet. And she was a wonderful woman. She did some really good things. If writers do good things, she was up there with the best.
Right,
she really was, and she was she was very stoic, but she, and rightly, with a picture, she could tell a story through her face.
Just
she was very real, and she was very real and very honest, and there was nothing hidden about her. And it's a real loss, but she had a wonderful career. And if you can get hold of some of her writings, please do. But the lovely thing that I'd heard said today was in reference to this memoir, and the title of this memoir was that the bird is caged no more.
Indeed. Manuel Uribe has died at the age of 48. He was at one time the world's heaviest man, according to the Guinness Book of Records.
Exactly, and don't say that with a smile in your voice.
Oh, I'm not.
No, he was lovely. He was 1,230 pounds he weighed. How much is that in, like, things?
Well, it's 2.2 pounds to a kilo.
Yeah.
Well, if you do eat kilos, I understand anyway. So
that's lots.
Yeah, that's true.
That's nearly 100 stone he weighed, if you think it through. He's about 93 stone. That's how big he was. And he went through all this horrendous thing of losing weight so that they could actually carry out, this is bizarre, isn't it? Carry out a weight loss surgery on him.
Mm.
And he died.
Gastric bypass surgery. Yeah, oh, it was funny actually. Died. When he had that surgery, they opened him up and they were unable to do the transfusion because all that came out was gravy.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, that's terrible.
Nice. So, I'm glad you got that one out of the way before we move on to the next story, which is an amazing tribute to Stephen Sutton. Thousands of people have turned out at his funeral, and the amazing thing, because we've been following this story through, Stephen's fundraising appeal has now topped £4 million. Stephen, you're a diamond, mate. Wherever you
Given that his goal originally was £10,000.
Yeah, I know.
It's unfathomable. This is it's the most, and it went viral worldwide. When I first saw it, he was doing very, very well. With raising the money, he'd reached his goal, etc., when we heard about it down here. But I was just baffled by this guy, as I've said before, by he was so joyful. He was so joyful for one so young who could easily just moan and be a victim. He was so joyful and he just kept going and going and going, and all this money he was raising, and now he's become this worldwide icon. And no, good on him.
Absolutely.
People are still sending money, and I think it's fantastic.
I think
the thing he said just before he died, which was a good thing, and actually it's a maxim for all of us who are alive, he said that he doesn't look to the future as something that he's aiming for. What he does, he looks to each day to make sure that he does something good and stays happy. And I think really that's every single
absolutely
one of us
should be applauded. Should be applauded. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we need you to pin back your lug holes now.
This is incredible.
This is an amazing story, because this is something we've been banging on the programme. Not just me, not Lee, but lots of us have been banging on the programme about this for many, many, many years. And previously, we announced the fact that the Court of Justice of the European Union found in favour of a gentleman from Spain, so would you stop coughing?
It wasn't a cough.
It was.
What was that?
I can't tell you.
Just get on
with this show, please.
He's trying to push his Bentley.
And the fact was that this guy went to the European Court, and the decision was made that some old information about him should be removed from the internet because it was no longer valid. Because in actual fact, what was written there was wrong because it had been superseded by something else. The superseded stuff didn't go there, and he was quite right to be rather upset about it. Then there came this moment in time where everybody's going, yeah, right, okay, and us that watch the media, this is honestly went through my mind. We've got a European Court and we've got Google, and if you've ever had dealings with Google, they always fall on the same sort of claim. Oh, you can't do that. We're legislated by the laws of America. Yeah, right. And then, shock, horror, amazement, they got deluged in people saying, oi, we don't like that bit, it's out of date now, it's not valid, yada, yada, yada. And Google fought back in the most bizarre way. They've issued a form.
Well, it is outrageous.
It's bizarre.
It's so corporate, though.
No, but
there's a problem. Here's a form.
Exactly.
There is that to it, yes.
There is a part, I don't know if you wish to continue any more on this, or...
Well, what I was going to say was...
I thought you were going to say something else. You see how sensitive I am?
I know you are,
very
aren't
sensitive,
you? He's got his female side on today, I can tell.
Male dress on.
I'm actually going to bother to read out the statement from Google's website.
This is a long statement.
It's not. A recent ruling by the Court of Justice of the European Union found that certain citizens can ask search engines to remove results for queries that include their names where those results are inadequate, irrelevant, or no longer relevant or excessive in relation to the purpose for which they were processed.
Ooh.
Right, which is a lot of legalese, which means if it's wrong, you can do something about it. But the safety factor is that if something's in the public interest, for example, a criminal conviction, this ruling doesn't apply. So it's not going to get rid of the bad people. What it's going to do is get rid of the people who may once upon a time have had fallen on bad times, got made bankrupt, and they've started their life all over again, and some websites got, they were bankrupt when they're actually not bankrupt anymore. They've been back to court, they've paid all their debts off, they're a good citizen. And why should they be lambasted for that forever?
Well, it depends, doesn't it? That, you see, the point, there's two points in this to me, and I think you've just sort of brought it down to one. One, if a bloke's gone bankrupt and it remains in the public domain that in 1997 he went bankrupt, as long as it is made clear that it's in the past tense, and also everybody knows that you only remain bankrupt for a certain period of time, I think that's a relevant piece of information
but
for
you can't
people
say
who want to do
he,
business with it.
You can't say he is bankrupt.
No, he can't. No, you say he was bankrupt.
You've got to change it.
Facts of law. Yeah. That's exactly the point. The point that I really want to make, and I'm sure people will find this incendiary, is that over the past, 4 years, Eric and I particularly have argued about the value of the internet and the value of newspapers. Basically, Eric says that the internet was wiping out newspapers. I said it wasn't. They were just changing the face. Now,
Have you look out your window?
Yeah.
What colour's the sky?
It's a dirty, stinky grey, just like newsprint is sometimes.
No, it's pink.
Yeah. So anyway, so what happened, right? What's happened now is that the laws of publishing, the general laws of publishing, have now been imposed on Google. And the general laws of publishing are based on the general laws of newspapers. So the way that newspapers work has now finally been perpetrated upon Google. And that's a good thing.
I don't know.
So it's a level playing field.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
That is
that's
good.
Fair.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
It is good. But there is a problem, because Eric and I had a little bit of a sort of working out session without any weights or anything like that earlier on. And if there are...
No, he was arguing with me, boys and girls.
Yeah, and I won it. No, basically, the internet is the equivalent to 100,000 newspapers. It has the sole content. And that means that they need at least 100,000 lawyers to work on making this happen. And I can't see how Google can afford lawyers to be there 24 hours a day looking after this kind of system. They might have their own legal team, but it makes no difference. This is a phenomenal thing that they're taking on.
Well, it's their fault.
Ultimately, it will fall apart.
No, it won't.
It's difficult because to police, I think.
It is difficult, but... The fact is, it's policed by request. Now, not every one of those 100,000 outlets is going to have dodgy stuff on it.
Of course it isn't. That's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you're only going to have a small percentage. So in percentage terms, they will have an enormous bubble blow up at the beginning of this. Then it will calm down. Some who know what they're doing and know they're being naughty will go, ooh-eck. And they'll sort it out. And we'll come on to another story of why they have to sort it out in the UK. Mm. But I thought the one interesting statement from Google, which is very applicable to all of our listeners down in Australia as well, we look forward to working closely with data protection authorities, not authority, authorities, and over the coming months as we refine our approach, meaning they're going to do more.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. And what it means is that the internet is finally being brought to book, is actually having to
it's
behave.
Just growing up a bit.
It's not a matter. It isn't growing up. It didn't come along and say, oh, look at this, lads. We'll do this. We'll sort out this problem.
No,
worry. They had to wait until the European what's it turned on them and told them to get on with it.
Lee.
What?
Cast your mind back to when you were a teenager.
That's a big ask.
No, it isn't. It's easy for me. I just get in my muscle car and drive around the corner, and there's my
youth.
Yes, right. And if you say, because we'll get done for this, and I'll go blame you, if you say you were a model teenager,
out of plasticine. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And therefore, I will use the analogy that the teenager is growing up and becoming more establishment orientated. Because it is only just 20 years old, as we know.
All right, I'll take your analogy from that. I take your analogy from that. I was a recalcitrant teenager. I did all sorts of terrible things that teenage people do. From all sorts.
It's lucky you're not Google then.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Because you're still doing them now.
Everything that I did in my teenage years, you can find representations of it on Google.
They're called precedents.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I've done it with presidents and kings. Yeah. No, that sounds terrible. McQueens. Well, that's even worse.
No, stop it there.
Oh, no.
But anyway, what we're going to do, boys and girls, if you have a look on Scribd where we have our running order, we will put a link to Google's form, which goes straight to the legal department, so you can have a look at it yourself. And if you feel you're being unjustly treated on the interweb, then you can fill in the form yourselves. Don't ask me to do it for you. That's your problem.
Good riddance to the citizens journalists who created this situation in the first place.
And moving along...
bloggers.
Yes.
Silly bloggers.
Silly little bloggers, some of them as well. The UK's jumped on this as well a bit quick. With the Communications... This is going to sound poncy. The UK Communications Act 2003, Section 127. Now, this could result, mate, in porkies on the net, and you're going to be getting porridge for your breakfast.
Because, I know that show. That was that Ronnie person.
That's it.
See,
I'm not young.
Well, anyway, as we know, in many countries in the world, and it's nice to see the UK as a bit of a leader on this one, there is a lot of nasty bullying, menacing stuff written on the interweb. And what they've done in the UK is they're making it illegal. Not only are they making it illegal, but if you get caught and get convicted of it, you can go in prison for 6 months.
I just think this whole thing is incredible and right and proper.
How long have we
been? I do too.
We're banging on about
this. We had a big celebrity here in Australia, a lady. We actually covered it on the show a little while ago. Her name was Charlotte Dawson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was getting trolled on Twitter and on Facebook. Mm. And she had she suffered from depression, and she ended up taking her own life as a result. These people should be hunted down and prosecuted for that. It's and this business about in this section, the person is guilty of an offence if for the purpose of causing annoyance, inconvenience, or needless anxiety to another. He prison.
Yep.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what the thing is, these people who hide behind their computer screens and bully people into, you know, suicide, particularly young people, they sit there, they're cowardly, they sit behind their computer screens and they hide and they pick on people and nothing ever happens to them. But guess what? You're so nicked if you do it.
And, the other thing, Rach, is what they don't realise, and we've said this so many times on this programme in other contexts, everybody knows where you are when you go on the internet. You can hide it. You can use VPNs, as some of the techies will use, virtual private networks, and everything else. But you can still be traced.
Ultimately, you can be traced.
You leave a footprint everywhere you go.
Absolutely.
And FBI have got these. You know how I'm addicted to the Crime Channel.
Yes.
The FBI have got these amazing computer forensics guys who can find stuff that you did 5 years ago on, you know, how to build a bomb, or you know how to bury a body, or things that you Googled a billion years ago. They can still find it. So the technology is still evolving, but they will catch you. They can catch you, and they will catch you. You can't hide. You leave a footprint.
Absolutely. And the reverse of that was actually a friend of mine called up for a bit of help this week, and I do that occasionally. Not often, but sometimes. Just happened.
That's when you put your Uncle Eric hat on.
Yeah, I put my Uncle Eric head on. Yes, I did. And my friend said to me, "Eric, long time no speak, but I wonder if you could help me with this." And basically, he had a customer claiming something, and he said, "It can't be true, but I can't prove it." And I said, "Oh, that's easy. Can I log into your computer with you?" Yes, he did get a little bit nervous. So I went diddly, 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 as you do. And then we went clicking and looking at some websites and diddly, diddly, diddly. And he went, I said, "Right, we'll have some of that." And he said, "Whoa!
What did you order?"
What did you get?
Well, I ordered the back issue of his website. The back issue.
Can you do that?
From a date many years back when this person claimed that something was written on the website and it wasn't. And he went, "I love you, Eric." So I said, well, don't go too far.
That's lovely that you were diddling and then he loved you.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Man love, nothing wrong with a bit of man love.
And the truth is, never put anything on the internet unless you're prepared for it to come and bite you on the bum years later.
Now, that's an allusion too far.
So
well, it's very, very simple. If you don't want somebody to read something, don't write it down.
Exactly. So
there is
again,
a point.
I was going to say, before we get there, Lee, you can do it a second. We are also going to put the link to this new section 127 for UK listeners onto our Scrib running order as well. So if you want the link, it will be there. And don't forget, as Rachel said, for the purpose of causing annoyance, inconvenience, or needless anxiety to another. Do not put lies on the internet. Do not wind people up, because you can get done for it. And quite right, too.
And finally, you can get done for it. It's absolutely right. But there is a danger in this.
Uh-oh, he's going to start again. He's red top.
No, yes. there is an inherent danger in this. Right. And that's because the job is so massive. Let me just paint a very quick scenario of a newspaper office, right, which is that this is all based on the same thing that would happen in a newspaper office. Somebody makes a complaint about a story that you've published that is now on your internet site or is in your archives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The news editor or the editor will make a decision on whether to activate something about that complaint.
Yes.
What actually happens is, because things are so frenetic in a newspaper office, they'll look at that, they'll go, oh, God, another complaint, get rid of that, do something about it. They won't even put the effort in to finding out if what's being said is right. They'll just clear it out of their archives and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to, if that's happening within professional publishing offices.
No, Lee, what you're missing the point is, this is a criminal offence. Therefore, it's acted on by the police.
So well, then it's going to tie the police up in a phenomenal amount of work.
It already is. The problem for the police is their hands are in handcuffs because there wasn't any legislation to make it work.
Yeah.
Now,
what do the police do? They
couldn't do anything
under the carpet. Yeah, exactly.
And now they can.
Still, and they don't have the manpower to do it. What I'm saying is the whole problem with this.
I'm going to upset him in a minute.
That Google and the police don't have the power, the manpower to actually put this into operation.
Right,
it's such
Lee,
an incredibly massive task.
Lee, there is one small thing that I need to share with you.
Go on, then.
This law was at the bequest of Bedfordshire police who were driving the whole campaign. It's the police that have asked for the clarity of the law, because then it makes their job easier.
And do you know what? If it deters somebody, if this legislation deters people from doing it.
Yes.
Yep. That's a start.
Absolutely.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, look, we've all agreed, which is a monumental achievement for 2014.
We do this every week now.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
I think we should just stop doing it.
Yeah, I know.
We should.
Anyway, we've agreed. Therefore, it's time to have a cup of tea, milkshake, or even a cup of coffee. Or if you have to go and spend a penny, now's your time to do it. Back in part two in a couple of seconds' time. Bye-bye!
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.